Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Enjoy this episode of Low Moon Palace Pages.
This is Palace Pages, July 20th, 2025. We are picking up slight fast forward after the group had a meeting with the princess about helping to take care of a young toddler, basically, boy, who currently we're calling Ozzy. And we're going to do a quick devotional, and then we're going to jump in.
Woo-hoo!
As I get there.
And I wouldn't be surprised if we almost kill ourselves again.
I'm sure it'll be
fine. Actually, we were in the castle. That might not happen.
With
the Psalms 25:10 says, "All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his promises." Psalm 25:10. His ways are the best. He leads his people in the absolute greatest successes and outcomes. They are the best based on the ultimate standard, which is loving kindness and truth. He has these traits, demonstrates them continually for those who follow, and those who follow should not only experience them, but also exhibit them. He has a covenant and testimonies. They become a standard of sorts, not a set of rules by which we reach God, but a sort of pathway by which we experience and represent his loving kindness and truth as a new character trait for us and as a new way of dealing with the world. His paths and his paths for us, which are the same things, because he is in us, are complete, completely laid out before us, and completely truthful and loving kindness without any dilution by other traits. This is the kind of miracle that only a creator or author God can do. Once you've experienced it begun, it's hard to imagine life any other way. How did I survive before this? The answer, I didn't. I was a dead man walking and stumbling over half-truths and being wrapped up in myself and trying to make life more alive-like. That's what love was all about. We call it culture or coping, but the absence of consistent truth and loving kindness is a death that can be known and lamented. But surrendering to Christ and ceasing aggressive personal pursuit of life is just about impossible. How does a person give up searching for and attempting to learn the very thing one was created for? The answer to that question is not without being born again into what they truly desired all the while, which is why you have to have help. And only one kind of help is actually available. The most expensive prize ever has already been made available for free. Receive life, receive his ways and relish them, exhibit them and want them for every other person. This is easy once you understand the dynamic that God has made them available permanently to his people, and there's nothing loving, kind, or true about letting people remain, even choose to remain, stuck away from his presence and his new life. Just as our walking death led us to seek any supplemental things that would make us more alive-like, now we yearn to help others find their life. Not because it's what is best for us, but because this is who we are now. It is also the only way to exhibit truth and loving kindness as we know it now. Amazing God, amazing people, amazing love, amazing truth, amazing journey, amazing results. Yay.
I'm loading
it. Okay. As the scene opens, we see Dan on the practice field, sparring with a knight about a foot taller than you. He has a long, dark, braided hair that comes out from underneath of his full helm, and he's broader at the shoulder, generally denser, stronger, and like that. But through finesse and agility, Dan is holding his own. There is a clang, clang of sword sounds, and around you, there are a dozen other knights, pairings, I should say, doing a similar thing.
What are pairings?
Two knights.
Oh.
Sparring. Pairing means the two things together. Okay. After several moments of the camera focused on different angles of the two of you fighting, it becomes pretty evident that you're pretty evenly matched. At which point in time, a rider on horseback, also in heavy armor, has been going around and kind of looking down on the various pairings, the various two knights fighting, and he reins up next to where the two of you are, and then he gives a couple of constructive criticisms. He says, lead with your right foot there. Stand firm into that shield parry. You're getting pretty tired, having gone for the better part of 10 minutes. Both you and your opponent are breathing heavily. Okay. At which point in time the rider finally says, hold! And you're just about to strike swords with him again, and there's just a sort of soft tapping noise as you and he kind of touch swords, but not with any force of the strike. And your chest is heaving, your muscles are burning. And you know, this is what sparring is all about. The repetition of going through the motions over and over and over again is what makes, you know, kind of ingrains it in your muscles so that you can do it when you need to during an actual combat situation. You notice that when he yelled hold, it's not just your group that stopped fighting, but pretty much all of them. There's one group was kind of on the edge of your area, and they're actually attached to another knight, and they did not stop fighting, but the sounds are distant, mostly what you hear is a rush of your blood and the pounding of your heart in your ears. So this scene has played itself out a half dozen times since the princess invited you to help babysit the young child. And so the schedule has been your training pretty much as normal in the mornings, and then in the afternoon, depending on whether you're needed or not, you've been babysitting young Ozzy. And then in the evening shift, you've been with Ozzy pretty much all the time. And a similar schedule works for Selena, as in you've been working in the falconry every morning, and then afternoons are split between Ozzy or working in the falconry, and then in the evening, every evening, you're babysitting Ozzy. So you've come to know that he's capricious, which is to say he causes a lot of minor mischief, gets into trouble, likes to sneak off, that kind of thing. And you also know that it's not only the two of you, but several other squires that have been tapped to help. But it seems like the two of you are primary, doing the most of it. This scene where you were just sparring was taking place in the late morning, after you had just stopped and you're calming down and your vision is widening back. Because like when you push yourself beyond your endurance, your vision becomes kind of focused and the outside edges kind of fade. And it's widening back and your heart is calming down. And the knight that you are fighting, whose name is Arturo, basically raises his sword in your direction and says, well fought, lad. And you know that it's a salute and you're supposed to tap swords with him.
I do.
Okay. Do you say anything?
You did get to.
Thanks. And then he is headed back to the tents. The knight on horseback is Edgar, who is a full knight of the Moon Protectorate. And he's still standing over top of you. And you see a couple of other knights have flocked to the area as well, or knight trainees, like squires, not knights. You're wearing your banded, correct? Most of them are in chainmail. Okay.
I have changed my bandit is what I wear.
Yeah. So they as they kind of gather around, you know, so one of them does have a suit of plate mail, and he has a high quality shield. And you know, you've seen him around, you know, he's got a lot of resources. He probably has enough resources to already be a knight, and he's upper social class like that. But for whatever reason, he is apprenticed to the same group of knights that you are. And so he has not been knighted or been able to move directly into a knighthood position. He's been trying to earn it, same as you are. So but he is of a higher social class. At this point in time, you've heard nothing about the coming of your parents yet. It's been just over 2 weeks since you guys gave them all the money. Okay. Right. And Edgar says, sheath your swords. And they all do.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going for a run. Down to the well and back. When you come back, get cleaned up and go to lunch. Okay. And, you know, I mean, you've done it once before, basically. It's out the practice yard, out the posturing gate. You go down to the city well of the closest town and then back the same way you came. It's about a mile run.
Let's go.
Okay, so they look at each other for a second, and then kind of like the pack sorts itself a little bit, and you realize that the guy who's running in plate armor definitely has the is going to get the worst of it, and he immediately falls to the rear and figures he probably won't be able to keep the pace. It is harder to run in plate mail than it is banded or chain mail. Okay, as you're jogging, they kind of starts to scraggle out a little bit. What is your con?
15, 32.
Okay, and then what is your dex? 15 also, all right. Yeah. All right, so you're second or third in the pack. And there's a girl who is in training to be a Knight of the Moon Protectorate. Her name is Sky, and she is running ahead of you, and then she falls off pace slightly and comes and runs to your left. So you're running down the right side of a well-paved, well-graveled road, countryside out before you, farmers in the field working. It is daytime. Soon the sun will be at the highest point in the sky, but it is not quite there yet. Birds are chirping. You hear the occasional forest animal, like cows moving, that kind of thing.
I just, and then, you know, still jogging.
Okay. So you haven't really had much chance to talk with Sky previously, but it isn't normal for her to run next to you unless she intended to talk to you. And she says, "Word is you're from the Elvenlands."
Yeah, I am.
No chance of becoming a knight at home, then?
No. I got sent here.
You sure hold your own with a sword.
Thank you.
She says, "I have a friend. Her name's Bella. She's from Nuetra, near the Elvenlands, originally, but she lives in Southernmiss Cove now. She says that any half-elven people like that are the product of a human and an elf are put to death in the Elvenlands. Is that true?" Not technically true. They are generally evicted.
No, they're just evicted.
So, kicked out like refugees then?
Yeah.
So your people really look down on half-elves then, huh?
Yeah. I don't.
No?
No.
But you wouldn't take a human wife or even a half-elf wife because then you couldn't go home, right?
Maybe. All I'm looking forward is to become a knighted and then I might be leaving the castle or so, you know, with my friends.
At that point, she's forced to, not necessarily forced to, but she chooses to fall back behind you as there's a wagon approaching in the other direction. See a farmer. He's hauling a load of hay that's 3 bales high, so it's pretty tall. As it passes, he's about 12 feet up in the air. The horses respond to your passing. They look like old war horses. They have some scars of healing and that kind of thing. But they're still plenty healthy enough to pull the wagon. Second wagon comes down the road as well, and so she stays back. And then you can see the well at the center of town. The town is about a dozen small houses, an inn. You know that there are a couple of knights that live there, and there are some tents on the side, probably for followers and so on like that, that stay there more lengthy. Not all knights are welcome at the retreat, only those that are attached to the palace or the royal family in some way. And there is no castle south of the city. The city has high fortified walls and towers, extremely defensible. temple, and there's a sort of a fortress that is at the river falls, like where the dam is. But if it's not a member of the Knights of Southernness Cove, then they wouldn't stay there. So you see banners flying above the village, 15-20 horses in town. And the banners flap in the wind, and they do have the Moon Protectorate symbol, and that's the order of knights that you are training to be a part of. Okay. Now, Eric, the guy who gave you the order to jog down to the well, is riding behind your little group on his horse, and he has interacted a number of times with the guy in heavy armor, basically sort of cajoling him on, like saying, "Come on, you can do better, push yourself. That kind of thing. You don't relish him the run in heavy armor. But heavy armor is also extremely valuable and good for protecting you. So, all right. Anyway, so just about as you're hitting the edge of town, she is back up jogging next to you again. And, there are two knights in front of you and three behind you, plus the heavy armor guy. Two knight squires, basically. Knight trainees. Okay? So they hit the... touch the well and turn around and head back, and they're probably about 10 paces ahead of you. And then she says, as you're jogging up the well, and she says, "Are you getting tired yet?"
"A little bit."
"Me too, but I've got more in me. What say we halfway back, push it, and beat everybody else?"
"All right."
"Last week, Eric had everybody jog down here, and the last ones back wound up mucking out the stables in the evening instead of going to dinner."
"Oh, I might be doing this. I'm going to practice it."
You hear the clanging of a blacksmith in town, and you can see that the smith is working on a sheet of armor. It looks like a breastplate for somebody.
Ooh.
You also see, as you're jogging out of town, you see two fairly young-looking human knights. They carry themselves with their chin up high, and they look muscular and strong, and they're wearing like high-quality clothing. Like their clothing costs more than most people earn in a year, or three. And, They laugh and joke with each other as they're stepping into the inn, and you trudge on. Okay, you and Sky, as you hit about the halfway point, you look over your shoulder briefly to see that none of the two people behind you nor the guy in heavy armor show any signs of running any faster. They're just kind of keeping an even pace. You think you probably have it in you to make the run that she suggested.
Oh, I'll try it.
Okay. So she was running behind you for the last 50 yards or so, and now she comes and runs next to you. She says, "Seems like the halfway point to you?"
"Yeah."
"I'm ready if you are."
"Okay."
"You know they're going to resist it."
"Yeah." "Well, let's go."
Okay. All right. And with her running right next to you, the two of you start running at a little quicker pace. And within just a minute or two, you catch up and move to pass the people in front of you.
Interested in giving financially to Low Moon and support the campaign? Text LMGIVE, that's LM Give, to 419-419-0095.
And then...
Wow.
Okay, so the remaining run is 800 yards, and it will be a contested rolls between the four of you, as the two of them do not want to be passed. Okay, I'll use this D20 for Sky, and I'll use these two D20s for the bad guys, or the contestants, I guess you'd say.
They're not bad guys, they're all training to be knights.
Contestants. I corrected myself. Okay. All right, so you're going to roll versus, for the first three rolls, it's going to be versus Constitution. And then there will be three rolls in the final 200 yards that will all be versus Constitution minus two. Okay? And then we're going to do contested rolls. So here we go. First roll versus Constitution. Okay, Sky's holding up very well.
14, I'm holding okay.
I'm holding, but not great. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so one of the guys that you were passing... definitely takes the lead. So it goes, we're going to call him Guy 1 and Guy 2.
I don't know their names.
Guy 1 takes the lead. Guy 2, yeah, they're wearing full helms, so you can't even see their faces. Same as, so is Sky for that matter. But,
I'm not.
Okay. Anyway, so Guy one takes the lead. Guy two is in third, and you are in fourth currently.
Dang.
All right, so we'll do it like this. So this is your D4. This is Sky's D4.
My D4.
Okay, that'll work.
Is my D4.
These are the other two runners.
My D4 is my D4.
Okay. All right, we go to at 400 yards. Roll again.
Uh-oh. 19.
Yes, you're not shining at the moment. Okay. All right, so the positioning stays the same, but the gap between you and them enlarges substantially. You're falling off.
Yeah. I got to forget the pace.
Okay. Once more before the final 200 yards. Ooh, okay.
15. 13. Yeah. 13.
Okay, so this guy's way in the lead. Then the order is still the same, but it's more like this. So you're about 100 yards behind the two people in front of you. The guy in front of you is right behind her, and then there's about 100 yards up there. So he's hitting the final right now. All right. Okay, so now we're going to the final 200 yards. There's three rolls to try to jockey for position. And you will need to win substantially twice if you're going to beat that guy. Okay? So guy number one. Okay, well, he falls back some.
11.
Okay.
He rolled an 11, too.
Yeah. All right, and then the other guy. Oh, that's Sky, sorry. Sky, okay. Sky has overtaken him. She's in the lead.
I gotta overtake the one guy.
Uh-oh. And then he's up here.
Dang it!
And you're there. So you're half. We got about 100 yards to go, and you're about 50 yards behind the guy in front of you.
I got this.
You hear Sky go,
"Come on, Dan!"
Sky in the back?
No, she's
no.
In the front, no.
I got this.
Okay, here we go. Better roll better.
Okay, Sky. Roll a one.
Sky rolled good.
I rolled a 7.
That's good.
It's isn't better. It a minus 2, though?
It is, but it's minus 2 on your con, so it's 13 or less. So then it means you made it by 6.
I made it.
Uh-oh. Okay, so this guy falls to the rear. So you overpassed him. So it's like this. As you're approaching the gate, and there's about 10 yards between each of you.
You fell behind. All right, roll a good number. Good number. Roll
that
the
was,
one.
Was that one of the three? Or that was one, right?
What? No, that was...
Yeah, it was one of the three. Okay, so then Sky. Oh, that's not good. Oh, you're flying.
Two.
Uh-oh. Sky falls back. Dan moves up. And now it's like this. All right, and you're in the gate, and you're headed for the back to the practice field. So you're in the lead at the moment. One more roll. And it's close. Like they're,
come on,
like,
Sky.
The closest guy's 5 yards behind you, and she's about 20. Roll a percentile dice first. You're trying to encourage your friend.
Oh.
Cool.
87.
That's excellent. Okay.
Oh, high number was good.
Strongly encouraged. Okay. All right, here we go. Oops, she made it.
6.
Ooh, you made it well. Oop, you made it. Oop, you made it even better. Okay, so as you make it, as you are entering the practice field, these guys basically enter at the same time, and Sky is right behind them, and you are definitely in the lead. That was the third one, right? Of the final stretch? Okay. So Dan wins, and Sky and the other two enter about at the same time. All right.
Yeah! Now we wait how long it takes.
Everybody
the
runs to the field and they put their knees, their hands on their knees, and they try to stay upright and they're heaving.
That was fun.
Okay. That was fun. Your heart is pounding against the inside of your armor again. Okay. Immediately after, the four of you are there, and you're not collapsing, but your brain is screaming for oxygen, your heart's pounding, your lungs are burning, and then you're trying to take deep breaths and calm down. And the knight who was in the lead for quite a bit says, "Nice."
Yeah.
Sheesh. And he walks away.
Bye.
And Dan just takes it like, yep, that's who I am, yep.
I succeed.
The other knight extends his arm, clasps your hand, and then he clasps Skye's hand, and then he walks away as well.
Skye, you should come to the market with us later.
I gotta stay out of the market. I'll tell you that story sometime.
Alright.
Well, she looks at the gate, and you see Beric is just riding in, and the other knights are jogging in. And he says, he did say, lunch when we get back.
Let's go eat lunch. After I go put my armor away and clean up.
Yeah, me too. I'll meet you in the hall.
All right. Paige.
So over, by the time you get out, when you walk out of the tent after you've kind of cleaned up and got different undershirt on and stuff like that, as you walk out, you notice there are several squires that are some distance away, probably like 40, 50 feet away, and one of them says something that definitely was referring to you, and then all three of them kind of like go back to doing what they were doing. So you get an impression that there's some kind of a rumor or something circulating about you, or something is being said about you, but you're not sure what it is.
Better not be bad.
I mean, the only thing you can do would be confront them and try to find out.
I'm gonna go ask. Wait, did I hear my name?
No, you didn't hear your name, but it was just like, they were looking in your direction, and one of them said he's something's on, and then they all saw you come out of the tent, and then they went back to you what they're doing, which happens to be scrubbing leather.
I'm gonna walk over now. So what did you just say?
Oh, nothing at all.
Definitely said something I saw.
Oh, no offense meant. Yeah. He was just talking about the foot race.
That was tiring.
Yeah, I'll bet. You were fast. Some are saying you're fast because you're an elf. Some are saying you're fast just because you're fast.
It's definitely not because I'm an elf. There's probably faster people out there that's not an elf.
Looks at one of the guys, and the guy's like, see? That's what I said. He says,
right.
Well, thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah.
And they're all keeping their head down, like, trying not to look you in the eye.
All right, bye. I'll walk off to go to lunch.
Continue scrubbing the leather. All right, and you're off to lunch. Meanwhile, elsewhere,
Selena running.
Is at the falconer.
Yeah! Okay.
So all the cages have been cleaned out, and you've been giving some special attention to the young falcon that has been especially placed in your charge and might someday be yours, you think, is the growing suspicion. And it responds to you very well. You can feed it directly out of your hand. You can open and clean its cage. Is it a hen? I don't know if we ever determined that. Let's see. It's a hen. It's a girl. Open and clean her cage. Did you name her? You were given the right to do so.
What'd she look like again?
So at the time that you were given the right to name her, you didn't know what she looked like. She hadn't hatched yet, but now she is born. And she's pale tan. She has a pale tan body. And then she has white around her neck, right under her beak, and at the base of right where her feet are. Other than that, she's pale tan pretty much the whole way. The tips of her tail feathers are black.
Mm.
She does stand out amongst the rest of the group. She's the only one that is a light color. Tan like that of the entire falconry. You don't have to pick her right this second if you think about it. In any case, she is fine with you cleaning out her cage with her in there, and you've been warned on many occasions to be careful about doing that because the talons are razor sharp. They will they'll go right to the bone if they just scratch you just because they're scared or something like that. So anyway, you're giving her a little special attention, and she is receiving it well. You also are beginning to think that she might be fairly smart, which would be good for being able to teach her tricks. Do you actually have animal handling proficiency, or is it something you've been working towards?
I have land riding, and I think I have animal handling, too.
During gaming, it is wise to have your character sheet out.
I unlocked it to get it out, and then sweated.
Or that's what I was looking for handling.
Yep, animal handling.
Do you have a number of hours, or you have the actual skill? Does it have a number after it?
Oh, yeah, I'm 1 hour, so I'm working towards it.
Yes, you can add 20 to that number.
Oh, dang.
Dang, 21.
21?
You've been serving in the falconry every morning before lunch, and some days
after. Oh, she can bathe the horses.
Okay. So, roll a d20 for me, if you're kind of assessing the falcon.
Don't kill me, falcon. 5. It better be a low number.
Okay, so what is your wisdom?
17.
Okay.
I'm a wise young fellow.
So you notice that a couple of things in training her. So one, yes, she seemed very ready to interact with you and even the other squires. You're not 100% sure what's going to happen now with your becoming the lead falconer, lead squire in the falconry, because the falconer is not squire either. Page, there we go. Lead page in charge of falconry. which is not the highest person. There is a falconer that the palace employs, and the lead page in charge of falconry like basically reports to that person, okay? But you're not sure about being the senior page in charge of falconry because you're not always available. You've been dealing with the princess's babysitting job, and it's been interfering with your ability to be here as often as you would like or as often as you are needed. But it does seem that the falconer has favored you, so it might still happen. You don't know. In taking care of the bird, you've noticed two things. So one, the bird is very receptive to people. Like, he seems to be not just you more than anything else. You more than anything else, but she will potentially eat food given by other trainers, and she comes forward more readily when, like, in a group of birds and like that kind of thing. But also you notice that she seems to be losing some of her connection with the other birds already. She's pretty young, like weeks old, and yet they seem to, like, kind of distance themselves from her and shun her a little bit and that kind of thing. So you think that there is a growing lack of community for her amongst her own kind, which isn't uncommon for falcons, but it's uncommon for it to be that young. What are you going to name her?
Razor.
Razor, okay. And he had given you the right to do that, so Razor it is.
It's a name that kind of stands out, and when I heard about the black tips on her wings, that's one of the options that came up.
Do you have napkins in your bag? Like the bag that came with them?
So, from up in the falconry, you can look, because it's pretty much the tallest part of the buildings, you can look down and see the practice field, you can see the courtyard and the trading that goes on there, and wagons when they come in and out, and you can see basically everyone that comes into the retreat, everyone that leaves. You can see to outside the retreat walls, you can't see right close to the walls because the walls themselves block, but a little distance, you can see the marketplace that's outside town, which you'll recall is basically a farmer's market, only sells like fruits and vegetables and stuff like that, maybe homemade goods, those kinds of things. And you can see all the way to the gate of the city, okay? And as you're sitting up there in the falconry and you're playing with the young falcon, she won't be ready to, like, leave the roost to fly on her own for a couple of weeks yet. But she does get out and she hops from the cages to the wall, and the little climbing posts and stuff that they have set up there for the birds when they want to perch outside and not be in when you're allowing them to perch outside and not be in your cages and stuff. She's not strong enough to just, like, fly off, so she's not bound yet or anything. It's the birds that are kind of in the adolescent age. They actually have a thong tied to their leg, and then it's tied to one of the posts when they sit outside. But she's able to sit outside. And you're sitting on the edge of the wall and watching her bounce around and stuff, and occasionally, like, you calling her over to the nearest perch and then give her a little treat and that kind of thing, working toward her responding to your voice. And you look down into the courtyard and out past the courtyard into the countryside and out kind of to the farmer's market, and you see at the farmer's market a wagon rolling out of the gate. So it is pulled by four large chargers, like the biggest kind of horse that people own, basically. Fur around their ankles, probably 8 foot high at the shoulder. So, like, you would need a ladder, you know, or a rope to climb up something to even be able to get up on the back of a horse that big. It's so big. There are four of them pulling this big wagon, and the wagon is clearly kind of military in design. It's heavy gray wood and bound in iron. And you've never quite seen anything like it. And so you look in that direction, you watch, it creaks and groans, and you can see that the wooden frame of the wagon is supported with iron beams, probably because the wagon itself weighs so much. If there is such a thing as a war wagon, you expect that's it. It rolls out of the gate, and then behind it comes a carriage, just the kind you rent in the city, and it's being pulled by two thinner horses, and then behind it is another war wagon, another of the same, and all three of them appear to be headed for the front gate of the retreat. So they would have to turn right and go around the retreat, or otherwise they're going to come to the front gate of the retreat. Are you doing anything particular? Watching? Going back to work? Ignoring it? What are you doing?
I do want to watch.
Okay. So you continue a little bit back and forth with the bird. You see they do roll right up to the gate. And the wagon, the front war wagon, stops at the gate. And the driver, who is in chainmail armor, has a conical helm, has a spear next to him on the seat, is interacting with the guards at the gate. And then they allow the war wagon to enter. But when it enters, you see that it is, it's, the wagon itself is tall, like 10 feet tall, and the portcullis, the driver has to duck slightly to get under the points of the portcullis as he enters. And you think, I mean, if there was something inside the wagons that was dangerous, the keep could be in danger for them to allow such a thing inside, because it's a pretty scary thing. But you do notice now, as they're closer, that the tabards, which is the white cloth that, or the light cloth that men wear over their armor, the tabards of the, that driver, all of the drivers, in fact, and two horses that are following behind are of the Moon Protectorate, which is the same order of knights that Dan is petitioning to be a part of. Okay, so they roll in, and when they roll in, both war wagons pull into the courtyard and park side by side. The chargers snort, and you notice that all the horses in the courtyard kind of respond to them. And it's pretty clear in your kind of animal senses that the chargers are in charge, that they, the horses around them recognize their authority. Behind you, the falconer releases a few falcons, and they immediately soar off toward the city and break up a flock of seagulls that was south of the keep and over the east part of the city, which is like where the wharf is, where the docks are, where the ships are and stuff. And so you know that gulls are generally considered to be pests, and so the falcons are allowed to hunt and kill them if they want. Okay. You see a man walk through the gates now behind the two war wagons. He is wearing bronze plate armor, and he's big. He's probably 6'5", extremely muscular. He's wearing a thin, neatly trimmed mustache and a thin goatee, which is like a pointed beard. And his skin is kind of olive-colored. And then he has black hair that he doesn't have bangs, and it goes all the way down the back of his head, and it is in a ponytail. And then he has a gleaming longsword on his back. And you figure he must have been in the carriage, and you notice that the carriage did not enter the courtyard. Okay? Just at that moment, the swinging door that you walk down the stairs, there's a swing door that up to the falconry, swings open, and you hear it go, and realize somebody kind of hastily opened it. And you see one of the princess's ladies in waiting. You've had much interactions with her. Her name's Laura. She's blondish, dirty blonde, probably 14, 15 years old. Generally polite and friendly. Anyway, she's carrying Ozzy. Now, it's not time for you to serve as a babysitter or anything yet, but she has him on her hip, and she steps up, and as she does so, the falconer says, "M'lady, a pleasure." And he steps up as well, and then she lets him close the door. So now you're up there. There's one other page that you don't know well, and Laura, and then she has Ozzy. And then she immediately walks over towards you, and she, as she's walking towards you, you notice that she's edging so that she's looking into the courtyard to see the wagons that you were looking at, but she stops just shy of them being able to see her much. Like, she's just peeking over the edge. She's about 8 feet back. And she seems flustered, like upset about something. Ozzy is oblivious. He's sucking on some kind of looks like a cookie. It's a hard-packed oatmeal cookie, it looks like. And he's got a kind of sloppy mess all on his shirt and on his face from it.
Is everything all right, Princess?
She's a lady in waiting.
Right.
So basically, that right now, that makes her about the same social status as you, though. You say, is everything all right,
yeah.
Laura?
Yeah.
Okay. She says, I don't know. The princess told me to bring Ozzy up here and to stay here until Lord Tulidor is gone.
Lord Tulidor?
Yes. You vaguely maybe heard the name. Apparently, he is an advisor to the king. He doesn't normally visit the royal retreat, so maybe has never been here before, unless the king was here and came for some kind of meeting or something. But anyway, she says, yeah, I don't know what's going on, but I think it's got something to do with Ozzy. Okay. All right. Meanwhile, elsewhere, pause there for 1 second. Meanwhile, elsewhere, you're now at lunch, and you're laughing and joking, and you're kind of wondering where Selena is.
I'm sitting with Sky.
Yep, Sky and other squires that you know, other pages, I should say. A page that you know, not well, but you know, seen him around the retreat. In fact, he was assigned to the retreat wherever you arrived, comes up, and he says, excuse me, Dan?
Yeah?
I have a message for you.
What is it?
I meant to give it to you away from prying ears. It's a verbal message. Could you stop?
Check out Amal Dan Inc. for incredible opportunities to support the ministry.
Yeah.
He nods to all of the others. They all nod back to him. And then you step over to the side. And you probably hadn't even started eating yet. You just got here. He says, the princess would like you to go to Falconry and remain there with Selena and Ozzy until Lord Tugador has left.
Okay.
It is somewhat urgent. May I tell her you will comply?
Yes.
I am to hurry back.
All right.
Right? Sorry for interrupting your lunch.
It's all right.
And he runs, like, books it.
I'll walk back to the table. I will grab... What is the
lunch? You haven't got your plates yet. It smells like chicken. Should be able to eat after, unless it takes a long time. Plus, you can always get food from the kitchen if you have to.
Yeah. I walk over and I say, Sky, I'm going to be at the Falconry for a little bit. I am needed there.
Okay. Everything okay?
No idea.
All right. Well, if it gets to the end of lunchtime and haven't heard anything from you, some of us will come looking.
Yeah, I'll probably... I was told that I'm supposed to be remaining in the Falconry for some reason.
All right. Go. Gods be with you.
Yep.
I'm going to get lunch. She stands up and heads for the line. Several of the others go as well. All
right. I walk off to the Falconry.
So you... do you head there... quickly, urgently, or calmly, or what?
I just walk.
Okay, you walk there normally. All right.
I have my sword on, by the way, because I don't take it off.
So you enter the main room, which is the hub of everything, and it's from there you can get a hallway that heads back to the tower and potentially up to the Falconry. And as you reach that spot, you are stopped by a knight who is blocking the hallway, you don't know him, but he's in plate armor. He's clearly a knight, not a squire.
Oh.
And there are several others that were in the same boat as you. He says, we're waiting here for a moment. And as he says that, behind him you see a small entourage, four knights and a man in bronze plate armor. He has olive skin, slick black hair, and a ponytail down his back, doesn't wear a helmet. Keen eyes, but kind of a broad jaw. Okay, and they stroll boldly and forcefully. I mean, they with every step, their feet seem to pull the floor behind them. Ringing footsteps, hard-soled boots.
I whisper, "Who's that?"
Lord Tulidor, the king's advisor. Okay. Apparently, he has some business with the princess.
I have to go to the Falconry. He'll
be gone in a minute.
Okay.
There is no faster way.
That's true.
You notice as he passes that there's a small group of ladies in waiting, like five of them. They're on the opposite side of the room to you, and so from your point of view, up to the left, basically back toward the queen's chambers, or if she were here, the princess chambers now, and they all bow deeply, curtsy and bow deeply to Tulidor, and he does not acknowledge them. One of the knights with him seems to acknowledge them slightly, but none of them really, like, say anything. Okay, and then he's gone.
I'm gonna, start jogging to the factory now.
Okay, yep, so you take a different hallway, and you charge up the stairs now, right? Meanwhile, on the roof, you see knights exit the war wagons, four of them total, and you get a glimpse and look inside and see that there may be more. Like, you see a foot and a shoulder that probably aren't the same guy, so you think each wagon probably has 2 to 4 additional heavily armored individuals inside it. And it starts to strike you that is a pretty serious force. Could be 10 heavily armored knights total between the two wagons, plus Tulidor himself.
Well, is there anywhere that would be safer besides right by the door where they could come in?
So, I mean, it's just a flat roof tower. There's the Falconry itself, which is a big batch of cages, and there's kind of a couple of pathways that wind between them. And then on the other side of them is the door that opens up. So unless you could leave the roof and go somewhere else, there really isn't anywhere more up here any safer. Okay. Well, she hasn't. She's still holding it. All right, so now they've gone inside, and she edges forward a little more. The falconer says, "M'lady, if the princess did order you to come up here with the boy and await his departure, I think it not wise that he be spotted. They've gone inside now. The drivers are still there, and there may be others in the wagons. I would stay back from the edge. She says, good thought. And then she moves back away from the edge, still holding the boy.
King's oblivious.
He does watch. He goes, a buddy bound. As the birds are bouncing around. A birdie.
Running up.
The falconer says, we're 7 stories up. I don't think they're going to hear him. It's more about being seen.
Yeah, I'm not in my armor, so.
Okay. As you arrive at the bottom of the staircase, which is about a 20-foot run up to the falconry, you see that there are 2 knights there. One of them is Eric. You recognize him. He's one of the lead knights that you're apprenticed under.
Eric.
What's going on?
I don't know. I have been told to go to the falconry immediately. It's urgent.
We were told not to let anyone up.
By the princess.
Yes.
I was told to go up there by the princess.
We were told not to let anyone up by the princess. I'll take your word for it. But I'll rip your back if you're lying.
Yeah. It's about Lord. This is
the other knight is Eric. The other knight standing there says, Dan wouldn't lie.
I don't. No, like the what? The Lord.
They clear aside and say, go up.
Alright, I go up.
You notice as you're walking past them that both of them have their swords unlatched.
I have my sword on my side. I have to use it. I will use it.
Okay.
So, why is his sword unlatched?
Probably because they're expecting trouble.
I'll unclip my sword.
Okay. You notice that the falconer has moved over to the door that comes up from below, and he seems slightly agitated. Like the situation is precarious. In fact, he actually puts on a glove and brings out his personal falcon and has it. He's feeding it as he's standing near the door, but he's wearing it, which is uncommon. So he's got it on the glove on his hand. And he didn't send it to fly, which is about the time of day he would normally send it out to hunt, but he didn't.
Why?
Are you going to ask something? Say something?
Fall
I'm too nervous to anything.
Okay. Are you still sitting on the edge watching the war wagons?
No.
Okay, so you moved away from sight.
Yes, I don't want to be seen.
Okay. Laura has moved over right up by the cages. The falconer says, best put the adolescent birds away for now.
So I'm going to put them away.
You should have grabbed my armor.
So there's 6 of them, and they're all, old enough to hunt, but barely old enough to survive on their own kind of thing.
Music is right now.
And you, one by one, you untie them quickly and put them in their cage and shut the door. And it takes maybe a couple minutes. As you finish putting the birds away, you hear kind of a thump thump noise on the stairs, and you get the impression that someone's coming up. And you see the falconer places his hand on his dirk, which is a long, flat, bladed dagger. It's probably about this long.
Selena.
And he's wearing it on his belt. He's got the falcon in front of him, and he's standing at the door and has his hand on the dirk. And then all of a sudden, the door starts to open. It doesn't throw open, but it starts to open, and you see Dan.
Dan, you gave me a fright.
What is happening?
Come up, shut the door.
I come up to the door, my sword is unlatched as well.
It seems like this man wants Ozzy, and the people should say that he's special in some kind of way.
Maniacal.
Ozzy says, oh, fool.
What did he say?
Oh, fool. Oh, fool. Laura takes him and she turns him slightly and so he's looking away and he throws up. Pukes all the cookie out and looks like he had some milk too.
Hello,
I'm full.
That's what I was thinking of. I'm full. Oops.
Listen, I'm not sure if he meant I'm full or not, but
probably.
I'm glad he didn't do that on me. The falconer says, "You're quite talented with small children. What is your name?" "Laura. It's a pleasure to meet you."
I walk over to the edge and I look over and just, what's going on?
Damn, away from the edge. If I think something suspicious is happening up here, what else do you think could happen?
Yeah. You get just, I mean, as soon as you get up there, you can see the war wagons.
Oh.
The doors are closed. They're big. Two huge chargers. Most of the horses and people in
big
the courtyard are shying away from them.
I don't know.
It has something to do with Ozzy. She told me to bring him up here and keep him here until Lord Troubadour was gone.
Oh.
I sure do feel we may end up in a fight.
Sword and shield.
If only there was a place we could hide Ozzy. I wish we
could hide him in our rooms, but that may be.
We'd have to go through the castle.
Yeah.
If Lord Troubadour comes up here, we are no match for him, the falconer says. We could have passed away.
We could go to my room. Or our rooms. We would have to be careful.
They certainly won't search the squire's and page's rooms.
What's the roof made of?
Stone.
Good. Next time,
but we might go to our room.
First question I always ask.
The problem is traveling to the palace would be too dangerous. Anyone would know where we are. Anyone might make a comment. I'm sure we need to be discreet, Laura says.
Yeah. They wouldn't expect the page's room to have the kid.
Okay.
I'm sure if he knew there was some kind of children watching them, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he sent out his guides checking every room and every...
Then we lock the room and they can't get in.
Yeah.
And if they force entry, then we fight.
And get ourselves killed? We would like not to do that.
So?
In any case, the princess has ordered us to remain here. Unless we have a better solution and are prepared to answer for it, this is all we've got. The falconer says.
I just saw whoever's in bronze armor just went towards the princess's chambers.
They'll be having their negotiations now, Laura says.
Like, I had to get stopped and watch them while they walked by.
It's a matter of social class, the falconer says.
It's true. Falcon.
I think we wait. Unless, as Laura said, somebody has a better idea that they're prepared to answer for after this is all over.
I would.
I think we wait. Laura says, in truth, you're not ordered to be here at all. You could just leave us. He says, I would not leave you. It would be a black mark on my honor.
Yeah. Sword and shield.
I will guarantee the safety of all those assigned to my care, falcon or human or elf.
Dan, don't get ahead of yourself.
I will fight as well if they come up here. They come up here.
Why does he have to have no fear?
It's a nightmare thing.
I would actually fight.
That's why when he's always like, I'm ready to fight.
Well, I don't have my sword out. I don't have my sword out. I just have my shield and that's it.
Okay.
Worst case scenario.
So 5 minutes pass. That conversation plus 5 minutes. Are we doing anything?
I'm gonna
particularly agitated, nervous.
I'm gonna try to pet the falcon.
She can tell you which ones are potentially willing.
Is there any other falcons that I could, you know, mess around with? But it's a bad sign.
I recommend still getting a glove, just in case.
It's true. If it cut your sword hand, that would really suck. Or even your shield hand, for that matter.
That's true.
It is not uncommon for knights to use falcons to hunt and even, like, the guides, the spies, things like that.
I feel like I should get a falcon. That'd be cool.
Yeah, it would be cool.
I want to get a falcon.
Falconry is a knightly skill.
So, I actually have a question. Does all these falcons, does somebody own all of these?
No, most of them belong to the royal retreat. So
nobody owns it.
Oftentimes, the royal family will make a gift of one of the falcons if a particularly valuable service has been, or sometimes they ship them overseas, or... Princess Cynthia, in particular, is fond of falcons, and when she is staying at the retreat, she comes up often.
I do happen to have a favorite. I'm not sure how much she'll like you, but you try it.
Who is this?
The falcon is this. The Razor does take to people faster than most of the birds, so if you're going to let him try one, you can't make that motion. If you're going to let him try one, then I would suggest Razor.
I don't want, because I get used to, like, you know.
I was even allowed to name her.
Oh, that's nice.
She's quite young, too.
I'll put on the gloves.
I put on my own gloves, too.
At that point in time, there comes a knock on the door of the falcon. And then the door edges open. There is a bar, by the way, that could be used to shut people downstairs, but if you guys have never done that yet, nor is the falconer for that matter.
I'll rip full of glove off.
And you see Eric.
Oh.
Why don't we want to keep coming upstairs? Okay.
So he's standing on the stairs still, but you can see him from like his chest up.
And come up.
And he does not come up. Okay. And he's holding the door open with his back and he's standing on the stairs. And he says, I just received word. One of my squires is in the royal chambers now. What he saw was the princess arguing with Lord Tulidor over the possession of Ozzy. Apparently, Lord Tulidor wants to take Ozzy back to the palace in the capital immediately. And I don't know, rear him himself or something of that nature, but they are arguing about who will have possession of the boy. Lord Tulidor claims to have authorization of the king. Worse, he's using that authorization to order his men to search the retreat now. They will surely come here.
Which is why I said we should go to our rooms. They ain't gonna search the page's rooms.
They will search the page's rooms. They are going room by room.
Oh.
Right now, all of the pages are standing outside their rooms with doors open.
I'm not. Neither is she.
And they will surely open your door and check.
The armor and the weapons that are in my room. The armor.
There's nowhere in the house for me to hide him.
No. Technically, we would be resisting a royal order.
But what if he doesn't have the king? He's trying to take the blood.
He's been advisor to the kingdom for decades.
Yes, but according to what the princess told us...
Here's my suggestion, but it's risky. I suggest we keep the boy here, and Laura goes to the royal chambers where she is expected to be seen, and ask the princess what she wants us to do. There's no doubt in my mind that Lord Card would want us to stand with the princess against Tulidor if it comes to that. But we will die, most likely. So we'd better be sure.
And we die from what?
If we resist Lord Tulidor and the royal order. Laura says, you want me to go to the princess? After she told me to come up here and stay here until Lord Tulidor was gone? It's not a great plan, but it's the only one we've got. Somebody's got to ask the princess what she wants us to do. Staying here until Tulidor finds Ozzy here is not going to solve her problem.
Well, Ozzy clearly trusts Laura. What if he's sent another?
I suppose. Are you volunteering?
Volunteering for what?
Pages can go anywhere in the palace, especially if they're delivering a message. The problem is, if you're moving about now, you'll be stopped and asked what your purposes are, very possibly, anyway. They're looking for anything suspicious that would clue them into the boy's location.
I'll go.
Wait. Even if he goes, what could we give? You're the You're the falconer. What if I'm bringing a message to the princess about the falconers? Maybe she was wondering how many she had, or something about the Falcons. And if they ask, I could tell them I have a message.
It's early for my daily report, but we could simply send that.
All right.
They don't know what time you send the report.
I doubt Tulidor would know when it is sent. Very well. Report to the princess. 3 new births. All the birds have returned from hunting. And 2 hunters have been added to the
Harry.
Hold on, I got one. 3
new birds have been born.
Okay.
2 hunters added to the flock, and all the hunters have returned for the day.
Oh, I want to see you born when I come back. If I come back. If I come back. You are certainly not going alone.
Well, if you're so fine with fighting, you can stay, and you can protect Ozzy. Someone needs to stay here to be okay. I'm just bringing a message.
We've got Eldred
Again,
and the Falcon.
You have been ordered to be here with Alpinezes. She has not. Cora says, well, I've been ordered to be here, and you were ready to send me. And Falcon says, not I. It was Sir Eric who suggested.
We don't have much time before he comes and checks you, so...
We will not let them up the stairs, so you'll have more time. But unless the princess is going to go to extreme measures to keep you safe, once they come, our blood will simply be the last wall between them and your destruction.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, all right, so you're going to go by yourself to the princess to ask...
I'm going to go with you.
What next? Eric says...
If they ask, I'm bringing the daily report from the falconry.
We will die to protect the princess's interests, but we will not intentionally dismiss her orders. Mm-hmm. When I go back down, bar this door.
Right.
If you hear fighting, do not open it.
Got it.
If we win, whatever that scrap is, I will immediately cry victory. If I fall, I will cry loss. That way you know who will come up next.
Okay. I got my armor.
And I recommend making some kind of plan to try to hide him, if possible.
How big is this roof?
60 feet across.
The only road view is here. She can use her illusions.
Okay, anyway. So you go down the stairs, and you're crossing the palace. And you come to a hallway, and there are 2 knights that you do not recognize in heavy armor. You think they come from the war wagon, and they're coming down the hallway. And so you stop at the corner and let them go by. Roll a d20 versus dex to see if you can remain silent and not be noticed.
5.
Okay.
My dex is 16.
No problem at all, yeah. Right? And so they walk past, and then you slip down the same hallway, and you're headed into the royal chambers, the hallways that go to the royal chambers. And then you round a corner, and just as you round a corner, roll a d6.
Surprise! Hop!
Here's my d6. Can I use one of your
d6s? Yes.
6.
Okay, so you are not surprised to the point that you can't react or anything, but you, as you step around the corner, you realize that just from this corner, it's like 20 feet to the on the right-hand side is the princess's sitting room where you met with her before a couple times. And you round the corner, and you looked first and nobody was there, and then you step around the corner, and when you step around the corner, the man that you saw before in bronze armor, 6'5", kind of just scary, ominous guy, is there. And he puts his hand on your chest just below your throat and pushes you back toward the wall. And he says, hello, young one. And we'll stop there.
Why?
Because we've already played for longer than we were supposed to. Although the story is just getting good.
What do you want from me?
Good question. Probably going to ask you what you're up to.
And I'll tell him I'm bringing the daily report.
And hopefully he'll believe you.
So,
we shall see next time.
Stay tuned for more Lomunian adventures.